This morning we're going to create the sermon together. For my part, I've engaged us with some scripture, or the closest thing we have to it, one of our statements of conscience. I've also brought a picture and hung it on the chancel, 100 Unitarians and Universalists who made a difference. We call ourselves a living tradition, and as much as any book or statement of conscience matters, the lives of people who have committed themselves to this movement also matter, and their lives speak a truth that in our own work of discernment asks us to listen. We began our morning with a reading, Paul Robeson, who says, "My weapons are peaceful, for it is only by peace that peace can be attained." As we read this morning, peace is complex. We need to beware of the trap of naivete. We on this hilltop have been stereotyped as peaceniks and hippies. The word peace is open to many meanings. And not all Unitarian Universalists would agree with Paul Robeson that our weapons are peaceful and we can only achieve peace through peaceful means. I'll tell you a story from our heritage. It relates to two people, one of them John Adams, another Thomas Jefferson. We could debate whether either one was really a Unitarian. For Adams, he actually had membership in a congregation. Jefferson never did, but espoused a Unitarian theology. Let me tell you a story that points to some of the complexity that goes back to our very roots, goes back to Adams, goes back to Jefferson. In the early years of these United States, there was no Navy. Following the Declaration of Independence, merchant ships sailing from U.S. shores were easy prey for pirates, especially pirates that were state-sponsored by countries then known as Tripoli, Morocco, Tunis, and Algiers. John Adams, in 1784, was appointed by Congress to negotiate with these Barbary states. His position, why fight? We should pay the pirates to leave us alone. For John Adams, military action was not prudent. Just pay the tribute. Why waste money on weapons and armaments? However, that position was challenged by the experience of early merchants who saw the pirating escalating as more ships were boarded, more bounty was looted, more Americans were captured. Well, Jefferson, along with Ben Franklin, were also appointed with Adams to negotiate and try to resolve the pirate problem. Jefferson's position was different than Adams. He saw that the ransom tribute was being thrown away. He said there would be no end to the demand of these powers, no security in their promises. Jefferson wrote, "America should always prefer peace to war, but when it came to the Barbary states, it would be best to effect peace through war." In 1794, Congress passed the Naval Act and created a standing navy. It funded six ships, and in 1801, when Jefferson became president, he sent four of them to the Barbary coast under the command of Commodore Richard Dale, setting a precedent that would be followed by subsequent commanders in chief. Jefferson did not request congressional authorization for the use of military force before sending Commodore Dale out to make war. He was sent with a mission to protect U.S. ships through any means necessary, to chastise their insolence by sinking, burning, destroying their ships and vessels, wherever you shall find them. Those words penned by Jefferson, claimed by our denomination as a Unitarian, sound hauntingly familiar today. I tell you the story of Adams and Jefferson to point to the complexity of peace work. Our church is not a peace church in the historic tradition of the Mennonites, the Quakers, and that we renounce all violence. There is within the Unitarian Universalist Association and within this congregation a diversity of views. We need to allow space for all of them. My own views have changed over time. in part through the work of theological reflection, reflecting on tradition, scripture, my experience, and exercising reason. So let's create a sermon about peace together that draws from the collective wisdom in this room today. In a few moments, I'm going to pass out index cards and pencils. In order to maintain some control over this process, I'm going to ask you to write down your thoughts. They'll be collected as you're willing to share them. I'll read them from the pulpit, and I'll transcribe this sermon for our newsletter. I have prepared 6 guiding questions. So here are the 6 questions for reflection and exploration. Number 1, for me, peace advocacy means, finish the sentence. Number 2, one peace advocate I admire is blank. Number 3, I was a peace advocate when I blank. 4, we were peace advocates when we blank. And by we, I'm referring to this congregation. 5, points to the future. I will be a peace advocate by, this is your commitment, personal commitment. And the last one is that discernment of what is ours to do. The question, we should be peace advocates by blank. I cannot answer these questions. Only you can answer these questions. And your answer to these questions matters for the future of this community. Peace in our times. So here's your sermon on peace. Peace advocacy means soul searching, thinking about peace because what we think about is what we attract to ourselves in the world. Peace advocacy means peace seeking, better ways to solve conflicts, speaking up against statements of violence, unfair characterizations of people or groups of people. Peace advocacy means listening, speaking peacefully, walking away but returning. Peace advocacy means creating my own peace of mind and spreading it outwards. Peace advocacy means involvement in our communities here and abroad. Peace advocacy means actively promoting peace. Peace advocacy means standing up against injustice, standing up against war. Peaceful means to solve conflict. Peace advocacy means respect and tolerance for others, connecting people of all types, helping families to resolve conflicts. Peace advocacy means taking action in some way to promote peace. Peace advocacy means talking individually with people who don't agree with me. Tolerance, a deep challenge to self and overcoming. Peace advocacy means speaking out, not remaining in silence. Peace advocacy means living a life that embodies nonviolence and encouraging others to do likewise. Who are the peace advocates we admire? Martin Luther King comes out on top with 6 votes, followed by Gandhi with 3, Reverend Barber with 2. Where are the women? Jesus Christ, Jimmy Carter, Barack Obama, Malcolm X, Pete Seeger, Patrick Kennedy, Michael Moore, Nelson Mandela, the Dalai Lama, Thich Nhat Hanh, Saint Francis of Assisi. How have you engaged in peace advocacy as an individual? I went to the Women's March. I diffused an argument in a public place. My whole life, I stopped an 8th grade class from tossing around unpopular girl's purse in the room and put my body over a girl in the seventh grade who was crouching on the ground while being teased mercilessly. I was a peace advocate when I failed to engage or talk about negative ideas. I was a peace advocate when I was a member of Orange County Peace and Justice, when I carried supplies to a country embargoed by the U.S. government. I was a peace advocate when I was drafted into the Army and realized the futility of war, worked from within to help others. I was a peace advocate when I stood on the street with women in black, when I was canvassing for a political party and attempted to see both sides, when I marched to protest nuclear weapons, when I participated in demonstrations in the city, when I mediated between my sons, attended the Women's March, when I refused to fight in Vietnam. I was a peace advocate when I came home from Vietnam. When did we act as a collective, as a congregation, to engage in peace advocacy? We were peace advocates when we demonstrated for peace against fascism wearing standing on the side of love shirts in North Carolina. When we marched for peace at a rally for peace in different locations. We were peace advocates when we did not interrupt others who were speaking their opinion. When we marched in New York City to protest nuclear proliferation. When we had a nonviolent communication service. We were peace advocates when we had a healing circle, when we were upset with each other over a publishing in the UUCRT newsletter. We were peace advocates when we got through rough times and controversy within the congregation, when we marched in support of UN resolutions to ban nuclear weapons, when we supported refugees. We were peace advocates when we had programs on drones, nuclear war, and went on the bus to New York City, when we invited the community to discuss the vandalizing of our road sign and flags. We were peace advocates when we offered to help the refugees, when we marched in New York for nuclear disarmament, when I marched for peace, remembering Hiroshima and what harm we caused. I was a peace advocate, and we were peace advocates when we marched in Albany, when we overcame our own violence, when we joined the Social Action Committee, when we voted to be a peace advocate congregation. Looking towards the future, peace work requires individual commitments as well as collective commitments. On an individual level, I will continue to work for peace now and in the future. I will listen and vote. I will help support Palestinian causes now that Trump has withdrawn humanitarian support. I'll support peaceful actions and act in peaceful ways. I'll advocate for legislative and diplomatic solutions to domestic and international conflict. I'll write opinion pieces for newspapers and other periodicals. I'll look for opportunities to stand up against drones and greed in the government. I will keep open communication and listen to others. I will learn more about the connections and actions here. I will genuinely appreciate others, and I will muster courage if I have it. How about us? What is ours to do? What insight does the community have about the work for this congregation? We should be peace advocates by speaking up in different circumstances with those who don't agree and not giving up. Support each other. Stand up for people being discriminated against. Reach out to people who do not share my views. We should be peace advocates by honoring, including, and accepting those who come through our doors. Boycotting, letter writing, greater participation with peace groups. We should be peace advocates by looking for local opportunities to shelter and aid the oppressed from unfair treatment, working to end development of weapons of mass destruction, supporting peaceful efforts locally and in government. We should be peace advocates by our own actions and behaviors. We should be peace advocates by promoting peace in our own personal, social, and political lives, by talking about various world issues and deciding if and how to act collectively or individually. We should be peace advocates by being willing to risk our comfort zone of confronting others and seek to resolve conflict within ourselves and others, seeking peaceful solutions.